Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our psalm for tonight, it sounds like the psalmist needs to see a doctor. He has some physical problems. He says that my bones burn like a furnace. Maybe he has arthritis. Maybe he has some kind of difficulty with his bones and he needs to see a specialist. He says, my heart is struck down like grass and has withered. Maybe he needs to see a cardiologist. Or if he's speaking in a way that he's saying that he is emotionally distraught, that his soul is distraught, then perhaps he needs to see a psychologist who can listen to his problems and help him. And then he also says that he forgets to eat his bread. Maybe he has some kind of gastrointestinal problems and needs to see a doctor for that, or perhaps a neurologist for memory loss. Perhaps we would advise anyone who is having physical ailments to go and see a doctor. And furthermore, we might ask some questions about how they got themselves in this mess. How it was that they came to the point where they're suffering physically. Perhaps they didn't eat right. Perhaps they didn't exercise. Perhaps they spent too much time with that one person who gave them this particular disease. And so they should go see a doctor. They have a physical problem that has some physical natural cause and therefore has some natural remedy from someone here on this earth. But is that what the psalmist here does? Does he say, well, I went to the doctor and he helped me get better? No. Does the psalmist say, oh, it was because of all the things that I did wrong in taking care of my body, my physical body, that I came into this situation, this problem? No, he doesn't say that either. Instead, he points out that the reason that he is in this spot, in this difficulty, is that God has been angry and indignant with him. That God has lifted him up and brought him down. Hear what he says in verses 9 and 10 of Psalm 102. For I eat ashes like bread and mingle tears with my drink because of your indignation and anger. For you have taken me up and thrown me down. Who is he talking to? Who is the your? Who is the you? Well, it's God. This is who the psalmist addresses at the beginning of the psalm. He is saying that God has done this. And he doesn't blame God. He's not angry at God for this. It seems that he is suffering from God's anger and indignation. Now, why is that? We are not given any specific sin that he committed here in the psalm. So we can't say that God's anger and indignation is because of some particular sin, not that we know of here. But we do know that all suffering and all death is the result of sin. That is why suffering and disease and death came into the world in the first place. When Adam and Eve sinned, God was not happy with them. He pronounced judgment against them. He pronounced the curse. Because of the curse that God pronounced, they would die. And also, their descendants, corrupted by sin, would die. We would suffer. We would have difficulty. We would have pain. The judgment of God came then at the fall and continues to come upon us for sin. And we also know in Scripture that God brings judgment for particular sins, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. For example, in the Old Testament, in 2 Samuel chapter 24, God sends a judgment upon Israel and upon King David for sin. It is a pestilence, a disease, that kills 70,000 people in Israel. And then in the New Testament, Ananias and Sapphira lie to God, and they are struck down and die. God does bring judgment upon particular sin. So then you might be asking yourself, as we are in the midst of a pestilence, what's going on here? What are we being punished for? Well, in the instances that I mentioned, we have a revelation from God that tells us what the sin was and what God did in response to punish sin. But we don't have a revelation now for this particular situation. And in fact, when Jesus is walking the earth and people bring up to him an evil that befalls some people and asks Jesus, well, what did they do wrong? Jesus brings up another situation and says, what about this other terrible tragedy? And then he points out to them what their response should be. Repent, or you too will perish. You see, the response that we should have to suffering, when we see it, is to acknowledge that, at the very least, God has allowed this suffering to happen, and that we deserve God's judgment because of our sin. We deserve punishment. We deserve physical pain and suffering here on this earth because of humankind's sin. And in fact, we deserve far worse. We deserve hell. We deserve to suffer eternally because of our sin. And what we should do instead, when we see the suffering, instead of trying to make connections to what sin has brought this on, because God doesn't tell us to go there and to ask those questions, instead, a response must be what Jesus tells us: repent, or you too will perish. God wants us to repent of sin when we see the suffering and evil of this world. Because you see, God does not desire the death of a sinner. He says in Ezekiel 33, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? The Lord wants the unbeliever to repent of idolatry and unbelief and to trust in the Lord, to turn from sin. And he wants all of us to recognize our sin when we see pain and suffering in this world, and recognize that sin is serious business, that it separates us from God, that for it we deserve not only this suffering, but even greater suffering, and to repent of it, to confess it. Be like the psalmist who acknowledges his sorry state and where he is. Things are not well. But it's not only that, to be sorry for sin and to recognize the fact that we do not deserve anything good from God, but that we deserve worse. It is not only that, but it is then to turn to God in faith and trust in his mercy for the sake of Jesus, which the psalmist does here in Psalm 102 as well. At the beginning of the psalm, in verses 1 and 2, he says, hear my prayer, O Lord, let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. He begins by crying out to the Lord. And this, in and of itself, is an act of faith and trust in the Lord's mercy. And then he goes on, later on in the psalm, beginning in verse 13. He says to the Lord, the same Lord who has brought him down, You will arise and have pity on Zion. It is the time to favor her. The appointed time has come. He declares the promises of God and believes and trusts that God will have pity and mercy on his people, on Zion. That God cares for them and loves them. And how should he know that? Because of his revelation to them over and over again in the Old Testament. And all of that going on in the Old Testament, God's rescue of his people, his deliverance, his dwelling among them, and providing sacrifices for their sins, all of that was pointing forward to Jesus, which is the way we know that God has pity on his Zion, on his people, and that he cares for them, is because he came in Jesus Christ to suffer the wrath of the Father, to suffer the wrath and judgment and punishment that we all deserve for our sins. He suffered hell on the cross when he was forsaken by the Father, so that we might be reconciled to God, so that we might have his love. And in this we know that our Lord cares for us and loves us. And this is what our Lord wants every person in the midst of this COVID-19 pestilence and any other suffering. This is what he wants us to turn to. To confess our sins and to turn to our Lord for his mercy in Jesus Christ. There are many things in this world that we can trust when we are going through suffering and difficulty. Many doctors and nurses, government, healthcare, the medical field, but at the end of the day, none of them can provide for us eternal life. They too, unless Jesus comes first, will die. They will pass away. We are all in need of the mercy and grace of God in Jesus Christ. Whether you are the President of the United States, the Director of the CDC, whether you are a doctor, a nurse, whoever you are in need of the mercy and grace of God in Jesus Christ. You need to be made a child of God, so that you may live forever with him. So the psalmist here doesn't need to put his trust in a doctor, all of his trust. Yes, God may use doctors to serve people like the psalmist, who have physical aches and pains and troubles and difficulties. And we give thanks for these gifts of God that he uses in service of his people. But at the end of the day, the one whom we must trust is the one who has the power over life and death, who kills us in baptism so that he might make us alive as his people. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.